Well, good evening, everyone. It is good to be here in spite of my, what would you even call it, worries. But yeah. So I've got, hopefully I can give you a good idea of what we do in Chile, or what we will be doing, and basically a quick preview of the whole church and bakery. So I'm going to start just with a quick overview of the country, and hopefully you can get a picture of what we have. So this is just South America, and Chile is the long, skinny country along here. It is 2,653 miles long, which is pretty impressive, being that it's only 221 miles wide. So I'm going to divide it up kind of into basically different regions. The north, from something like here down to the central area, is all desert. I believe it's the driest desert on Earth, the Atacama. But even including that, it's got some of the world's most valuable copper mines. Chile is the third largest producer of copper worldwide, among other things too. A little farther down, maybe central to this, right where the islands start, that is probably the best part of that is where all of the farms are, and there's lots of dairies and that sort of thing. One of the changes from, of course, desert and dry to green farmland. And farther south yet, it kind of drops off the end of the world. Which, basically, there's just not very many people living farther south. It's a lot of islands, lots of valleys, and mountains everywhere. I've got plenty of pictures of scenery that should show you that. I was going to zoom in farther. I forgot about that. Santiago de Chile, that is the capital. If you're flying into Chile, that is the stop you make. And often, if you're going to Argentina or Paraguay, you fly through Santiago as well. So the Chilean culture, first of all, it is not a third world country like you would think of Haiti or places like that. It is definitely better than that. There's good road systems, especially the capital of Santiago. It's a big city. I believe 7 million out of 17.5 million population. All in one city, which, if you compare that to U.S. cities, it's not all that big, but still. So you would find skyscrapers and, I would imagine, several malls. We're honestly not there very often because we live a long ways farther south yet. Right here it says Coyhaique. That is our town. But the government is stable. It's maybe not as corrupt as you would expect, but I'm sure, like any country, there is lots of corruption as well, but it's not to where you see it, and it honestly is a good country compared to most of what you would get in South America. The police, honestly, the police in Chile are very, very reliable compared to any other country. Maybe the U.S. would be better, maybe not, but you cannot bribe the police in Chile. We've never tried that even, but just... Just comparing it to other countries, we drove through Paraguay a couple years ago on a little trip we did, and just about anywhere you stop, the police will ask for just a little tip to help along their way. And of course, that just goes straight into their pocket. Chile is not that way. It would probably get you into worse trouble if you did try to bribe them. So that's at least one thing for them, even if maybe they're not as... They can't do as much as you would maybe hope. A couple years ago, there were some protests, and the police just watched as they blocked down roads, and the food in the grocery stores kept running out. But the police did not do as much as they would in the U.S. And that's just the country of Chile, too. You can't expect it to be like the U.S. It's its own country. Years ago, 1973 to 1990, there was a dictator in Chile. Pinochet is his name. And it was a very oppressive government during that time. And there's still some throwback from that today. That's probably why the police don't have quite as much power as what they should, but considering that, it's come a long way since then. Chile is, I'm not sure which levels you should look at this, but Chile is a leading country in South America. It doesn't have as much of production and industrial stuff as, say, Argentina or Brazil, but it is considered one of the better countries in South America. The economy of Chile is probably one of the biggest things for it is mining, especially copper and I believe lithium as well. But there is also, like in the central area, lots of agriculture. You'll often buy grapes in the supermarket, at least if it would be during winter in the U.S., they would be grown in Chile. There's other produce as well that comes from Chile. Geologically, it's a young country, as in there's lots of volcanoes and lots of earthquakes, especially in the central area. That's where all the people are, and it seems like all of the earthquakes and quite a few volcanoes as well. In 2010, there was a really big earthquake, 8.8 is what it measured, which you compare that to other earthquakes, and it honestly did not do as much damage. Haiti, I believe that one was, I think, the same year, and a magnitude 5 earthquake, but the damage in Chile was far less than what Haiti suffered. And it's just because it's a country that's prepared for earthquakes and has a lot more of a modern building code. Where we're at in the south, it's a long ways away from where earthquakes would happen, and I believe there have been twice that we've lived in since we have moved to Chile, which was 2012, where we have actually felt an earthquake. In the north, it's probably a couple times a month that they feel a significant earthquake or a tremor. The people, or as a culture, one thing we've noticed, if you compare it to a U.S. time schedule, it's a lot later. Most stores in the U.S. would open around 8:30 maybe. In Chile, often big stores don't open until 9 or even 10. You'd think you could get to the supermarket before, is it 9 o'clock? That it opens, but it's not until 9, and other stores are even later. But then they do work a little later, and often until 7 or 8, but with a break from 1 to 2. So even pretty much everything except for the biggest grocery stores and hardware stores, at least in our town, are closed from 1 to 2. And government offices, everything is just shut down. You don't get that in the U.S., but it's just one of the differences. Probably the area you notice that most is in their eating schedules as well. I've got a little story of Juan Bueno, one of the guys we met years ago, and he's still a friend of ours. He invited us to his house for supper, and he didn't get off work until 7, so I think we probably got to his house around 7:30 or 8 for supper. So as good Americans, we walked in thinking food should be prepared and maybe on the table even. Well, we talked until probably 10 o'clock in the evening, and just about then he gets up and says, "All right, let's go buy the food." So Juan and then my dad and older brother went to the store and bought bread and meat and probably some potatoes, came home and cooked it, and I believe around midnight we were eating supper. So we've kind of learned to just prepare if you're going to somebody's house for supper and, you know, a snack isn't actually that bad. Mom doesn't punish it quite as much as he used to. The income, most of my experience is just in Coyhaique, and that's or Aysén is the region, and that's a lot smaller of a region. It's probably a little different in the north, the more populated, better off region, but still, it's pretty similar. The income, most people would live off of quite a bit less than they do in the U.S. I'm guessing the bottom wage probably starts at about $50 a day for labor. Land is quite a bit more expensive than here, I've found anyways. And so just people just end up renting. A house in town is way too far out of a normal household's budget. The houses are also not what you would get in the U.S. Our region does get cold in winter. This is 45 degrees south, which is farther from the equator than we are here. So it definitely gets winter. Right now they are just coming into spring because it is south of the equator. But the houses are not as well prepared for cold as what you would get in the U.S. They haven't learned to protect them from the wind and insulate them quite like an American house. That's something that they are getting now, but it's not a U.S. style of house. We'll often go to neighbors' houses and feel little drafts of wind coming in around the doors and through the windows and places like that. The diet is usually just bread and potatoes, maybe some meat. It's along the coast, so there's often seafood as well. That's not something I've enjoyed so much, so I'm sure other people would come down or could give a lot more information on that. The religion is mostly Catholic. Evangelicals, there's a lot of those as well. Probably the thing we've noticed most about the culture, recently anyways, is that it's very much turning into a culture wrapped around itself with smartphones and other gadgets. People are wrapped up in their lives and whatever they have and just don't get out as much. So I'm going to come a little closer to our region. The economy, again, around this region, which the population in... Okay, so the region of Aysén is somewhere from here to here. It has 110,000 people in it compared to millions in the northern regions. So it's just not as much of a profitable place. But there's still lots of cows and sheep and a few salmon farms. Probably the biggest employer in the region would be actually government. There's a lot of military jobs in the region. That's actually how we have met quite a few of our church members. All of the government jobs have a rotation they'll do where they will swap people around from one city to another. So every four or five years, they will rotate a family or rotate their staff from one city to another. The government, the military, pretty much any government job does that. Probably the second biggest, or no, it would be third biggest after agriculture in our region is tourism. It's a very beautiful region. I'll show that in our pictures. But there's a lot of backpackers and bikers coming through. Those maybe aren't as much of money people, but still, they're trying to go through as cheaply as they can and see places at the same time. But they do provide some income. And then fishing lodges. It's a good fishing place for trout, maybe for salmon if you're there at the right time of year. And people come to go fishing. So I'm just going to skip through a few pictures now, just so you can get an idea of what our region looks like. This is probably a typical view of Chile, our region. Fences are just everywhere. And that mountain is Cerro Castillo. It's not the tallest mountain in the region, but it's still one of the better ones. This is a little closer view of it. Lots of that glacier is there year-round, and yeah, it's just a beautiful lake and place. This is coming back down the other side, just overlooking the valley. Lots of mountains and quite a few trees. This particular area doesn't have as much of trees. So this is their national animal. It's called a huemul, which is basically a little deer. The park right here where this picture is one of the few places where you can actually find it. It's not too common to see it, but we were driving through and I saw a whole bunch of people stopped, if you can see them even, and sure enough, this thing came walking across the road. It's not at all afraid of people, which is why it has to be protected, because it doesn't have much fear of people. More scenery. There's some of the cows from the region. Most of the cow farming is for beef. There are no dairies, at least a full-scale dairy. There's lots of waterfalls as well. It's a very wet region, at least during certain times of the year. It's fall and winter, it often rains a lot. And here is the ocean. It's not as vast as you would expect, but that's just because it's the region we're in, there's lots of islands and inlets. This is actually a big enough port where we can ship big container ships into the port, and that's where we get lots of our building supplies. Rivers, there's lots of rivers. We really enjoy that. Just a day out at the river and fishing and a little campfire too. This is a lot farther back in, but still it's a beautiful little valley with a road going through it. Actually, I don't think people go through there very often. Maybe it might get people going through once every week at the very most. More of the fences, they are just everywhere. If you buy a piece of property in Chile, you put a fence around it. That's the way it works for everyone. This is honestly one of my favorite pictures of Chile. Usually, you cannot find a clear day where it is not windy, but this is one of the few days there is. I almost feel bad showing this many pictures of Chile with good weather because it is usually not so good. Cloudy, windy, raining, or snowing. But either way, you're seeing good in Chile. So this is a glacier-fed lake. You can see a little bit of the glacier in the corner up here. And of course, there's a whole lot more hidden behind the mountains. Just a river with a few lupins. Chile often, it's in December and into January. There are lupins everywhere, and my mom just loves them. Carolyn does too. I figured people would appreciate it anyways. And here you can see a little bit of the fall colors. The mountains starting at the top just turn red from trees. Leaves turn red and then fall off, of course, and just slowly works its way down. And I'd also like to see how many people see a lake in this picture. There is a lake right here. You can see the line for it, kind of hidden in there. But that is one of our jobs that we were working on. Very beautiful place. This is also the same lake, and I shouldn't show this many pictures of it being perfect, but because right now they're working there, and it is just mud and rain and snow occasionally. Anyways, lots of rainbows too. This is at my uncle's farm. He's got a little bit of land by the lake where we have a little pavilion and just enjoy lots of cookouts and excursions there. Kansas does have beautiful sunsets. I often think, though, there needs to be a little bit of a background for the sunset. I'm not poking too hard. Kansas is a great place to live, too. I've already mentioned rivers. This is one of our places that we really enjoy. At sunset, too. If you look around, you can find really beautiful places to have a little picnic or even to go swimming. Then again, the water's always cold. This lake, it is the largest lake in Chile. It would be largest in Chile, except part of it sticks into Argentina. So you can argue about that if you want. But yeah, lots of mountains around it, and also marble caves. I'll get to that in just a little bit. Just a beautiful lake, and as cold as can be. I'm almost surprised there's not ice in it. So these are the marble caves. It's one of the big attractions in our region. If you listen to what the guides say, it took millions of years to make, but of course that's not right. And they will take you on little tours. There's a boat back there with a whole bunch of people on it through the caves. There's one cave, they take you probably 200 feet back into the rock. And it's just a little arch kind of like this. This is another one. It's just, you have to wonder, how can that thing still be standing there? How long will it take for it to tip over? The same lake with these mountains up here. The next picture will be closer of that. One of the biggest glaciers, I think it is the biggest glacier in our region. Maybe, I'm not sure about that. But yeah, all the way across, that is one solid glacier. And you can see it picked up a whole bunch of rock and gravel in the middle part. This is from the other side, another angle, so about 90 degrees looking at it. And the glacier is coming down from a different part. And here's from farther away, too. I started out with probably 10 or 15 pictures of this glacier, but Carolyn convinced me that that's probably too much. I love glaciers, though. So here's some more of the snow pictures. There's a little ski place, but it's often not open. This is one of the days it was open. So this is getting a little closer to our, to the church stuff. This area right in here is where a bunch of the church people live. You can kind of see a house down there. And there's another house up here. Those are church people live there. This is where we ship our containers into, and here is another little business I'll talk about later. Welding bit shop is what it is. And this is the town of Coyhaique. It's fit in between the mountains, and yeah, it's a nice little town. It's a lot more crammed together than what you would get in the U.S. There's maybe, it depends where you're at, 10, 15 feet between the street and a house. My parents' house, I'm not even going to point it out, but it's somewhere in this little area. They actually have a nice yard, but it, compared to the rest of town, most people have just a tiny little yard. Some people have such a small yard, we've seen them out there trimming it with little scissors. I think that was just once, probably a special thing too. But the houses and the lots there are a lot smaller than what you would get here. This is another view looking at Coyhaique. Right here you can see a little smoke layer. In winter, everybody heats with wood stoves, and that is the smoke from those stoves. It gets completely covered in smoke during winter. That's the one time of year when it's not windy. So the smoke just settles in the valley, and it can get pretty bad. Here's another view from a little higher up in the mountain. The next one, yeah. So I'm going to stop pictures for a little bit and talk about the church. So kind of the mission purpose for the Chile Church, the Coyhaique Church, is just a self-supporting church. That's the idea anyways. Obviously, we can't buy property or earn enough to buy property, but we have our own businesses and are mostly self-supporting. The idea behind that is just that we can get to know the people better on a personal level, that they actually see us working and interacting that way. We feel it's a lot more of a long-term mission, but it does have its good points as well. People can actually see that we live the way the Bible says, and it's just a lot more of a lifestyle mission. So we don't do as much of maybe active mission work, like passing out tracts or preaching in the streets, but still, there's a place for that too. But we've actually found that it is very effective just to get to know people and maybe have a Bible study, that sort of thing. So 2004 was the first year that my family went down there. Actually, it would have been my dad and his brothers, and they bought a piece of farmland, which is where my Uncle Jeff has his farm. He has cows and does hay work too. And actually in 2007, the Idaho Church sent a group of men and approved of the location too and decided this is a good place for a church. So right at that time, my family moved down, my parents, and my uncle moved down as well, and we bought a little house in town and fixed it up, needed remodeled, so now it is one of the few insulated houses in town that does stay warm. Fixed it up and started getting to know people on our street, had a few Bible studies. We started our Bible studies at 4 in the afternoon, which, again, it's just a Bible study, but we found that suits the Chilean schedule a lot better. Church now starts at 11, but yeah. So we were getting to know our neighbors, and that's honestly probably where we got to know the most people, was right at the beginning, people on our street. There's one church family that used to live there. They've moved somewhere else, a different part of the city now, but they are members of the church. There was another family that we're still come to church occasionally, but not doing as well. They also would have been on that street. But yeah, that's kind of how we got to know people, at least in the beginning. There were lots of kids playing on our street, me included. It's a dead-end street, so it's a perfect place for soccer or whatever. There were lots of tea parties. My mom did quite a bit of that. And asados. That's a little like a cookout. I'll explain that a little later. I've got pictures of it. But that's kind of the way we got to know people. So a little while later, we bought some land out of town. Actually, it's where I pointed out the business stuff, the houses. That was originally meant for the church, for a church house, but out of town just doesn't work as good for the Chileans. In the beginning anyways, they didn't have vehicles that would, a couple of them didn't have vehicles, and it was just a mess getting everybody out to church. So a while later in 2014, we bought an old school in town. Pictures of that now. Bought this old school in town and remodeled it for the church, and kind of around the same time we saw that it would work great for a bakery or a bookstore, that sort of thing. So that's what it is now. It also has an apartment in it, and now a little school too. That's just something that's recently started. So right here is where the church building is at now. I have pictures of it a lot newer. And the bakery is off in this side. So I've got pictures of remodel work. We redid the roof. Here you can see the tin they used to have. And that's the same style of tin they use even now. But yeah, we did a lot of work. Redid the roof. The bakery is where we did the most work, probably. Tore out a whole bunch of walls. Put a foundation in. And basically, it's a new building. Tore everything old out, and now it's pretty new. all of this wood here, you'd be amazed at how short of time it actually takes to push it through a wood stove. All of that got turned into firewood. Including that. This is actually where the school is now, but probably doesn't make too much sense yet. So this is the seating area for the bakery, or that's what it turned into. Right here is probably the only place there is original wood left in the whole building. More work being done, lots of drywall, insulation, that sort of thing. This is from the outside. The bakery entrance is right here. Things have been remodeled a little bit now, but it still looks very similar. The entrance to the bakery. And this is the church. Church entrance, anyways. So this is about where we had it. We had everything fixed up pretty nice. The apartment was finished, and there was a couple living in it. The bakery was almost done inside. I think we were maybe a month away from finishing it. And there was actually a church fire there. During winter, we heat the whole place with a wood stove. And I actually went over and started the stove early, maybe a half hour before church, which is about always what we did. And somehow, the fire burnt through the chimney, I guess, and started a fire throughout the roof. So most of the roof burnt out over the church, and it burnt up to the apartment, but somehow the apartment and the church bathrooms were just fine. It's really amazing, because the chimney goes right next to the apartment. It's literally a foot away from one of the apartment walls. It did burn that wall, I guess, but it did not burn past because of the drywall. But the whole roof burnt out, and we ended up rebuilding a lot of it. We had a work crew from the U.S. that came and helped us. So in the end, I think we tore out half of the building. This back half stayed the same. It didn't get too damaged. And rebuilt it. Now it's a whole lot nicer. It's insulated a lot better, and it's a lot more of a church design now. Before, it had been just a converted part of the school building, but now it feels a lot more like a church. This is looking at it from the front. This is a very recent picture. So the bakery is over here, and the church is back here. This is the roof for the apartment, and let's just burn a hole through the bakery. Somewhere back there is the school. So the church, this is the right place. It's probably got 50 or 60 people in regular attendance. The church service starts at 11, 15 minutes late usually, and goes till about 2. We often have a lot more of a slow service, I guess. There's a coffee break somewhere in there, and of course Sunday school and a sermon. And lots of that. One thing we do quite a bit is a fellowship meal every month. Usually the first Sunday of the month, we'll have a fellowship meal. This was for Mother's Day, so all of the guys cooked, if you can imagine that anyways. It actually turned out pretty good, I must say. The Chilean men actually are a lot better cooks than, at least we found, than U.S. men are. Typically, they actually cook regularly. It's not too common. So my friend Israel, he works for us. I'll talk about him later. He cooks quite a bit, actually. You wouldn't think of it, but that's the Chilean culture. So we do a lot of fellowship meals and a lot of cookouts. We're often just looking for an excuse to get together. It's a lot smaller group, too, so it makes it a lot easier. He's grilling something. We'll often have a lamb too. That's the kind of the Chilean dish. So you take the whole lamb and just cook it over the fire for about 4 or 5 hours. Not everybody likes it, but it is, I think it's good. Lots of time together, just chatting and eating food and lots of stuff like that. We often invite people that aren't part of the church along too, so it's a way to get to know them too. This was actually a youth get together, but we do that quite a bit as well. There's a little fire and probably some mate, which is the Chilean drink. And lots of stuff like that. Make sure I'm not getting too far ahead of myself. This is at the lake. It's quite a bit of singing and just time together. This is probably a camp out or something like that. This is how the bakery looks. So the seating area is about where this wall is, straight over. And then in the back, there's lots of storage and cooking. Inside the bakery, lots of stuff to satisfy your sweet tooth or some sourdough bread if you really want it. So the bakery officially opened in 2016. And at the start, it was really slow. Business just didn't pick up for a while, but by now, it's actually enough to support itself. The idea is, of course, to reach out to the people. There's a bookstore, and just to get to know people through the bakery. Now, the bakery now has a little bit of a coffee roasting business as well. It's just starting, so we're not really sure where that's going to go, but that's the idea. Lots of pastries. You can get some meals there if you want. The main goal for the bakery is to provide a witness to the community, either through interaction with the staff or buying books, that sort of thing. We found that the clients do show some interest. So here's just some bakery people to satisfy your interests. They would be happy to make you coffee if you wanted. But the clients have shown some interest, but what we have found most, anyways, is that the Chilean people that we do hire have really shown a lot of interest. This girl here, Javiera, she was actually at our wedding. Maybe some of you would remember that. But we hired her for the bakery, and since then she has really been showing a lot of interest in the church and in God, and as of just recently, she is wanting to be baptized. There's another bakery girl I'll talk about later. Here's some more of the staff. These three are all from town. They're not church members, but still, they're worth having on the bakery staff. This is the seating area. And the place you can order your coffee or whatever other pastries you might want. Oh, that's right. I really wanted to show a picture of a container. We ship containers down for our own building supplies and also some coffee stuff for the bakery and lots of other odds and ends. And this is just the way we pack it out completely. It is filled to the brim and running over. I'm going to go through church people now a little bit. This is Jeff and Larita and their family. They moved down with my dad and with my mom and dad right from the very beginning. Jeff is the pastor of the church, and he has a little farm, I think about 70 or 80 cows, and does some hay work as well. This is my parents right here. This is the best picture I have, of course. We moved down at the same time as well. So there's five of us and six of Jeff and Rita's family. I'm going to count these up later, I should, anyways. Justin and Jalyn also just recently moved down. Jalyn is my sister. And Justin is starting to work a little bit at the bakery, but mostly as a school teacher. And my dad is... He helps out at the bakery sometimes, managing orders and lots of the paperwork stuff, and also is in charge of our construction company. So we build houses and lots of stuff like that. That is our family business. So more church people. This is Eli and Lydia Ann. Eli is a manager at the bakery. He's there usually all day long. So he'll buy stuff and lots of managing things. He's often has the hard job of telling people you can't work here anymore. But he does good. We're really glad to have him down there. Denny and Dorcas, they moved down a little more recently, and he does welding with his brother Daryl and Rosine. And of course, Justin and Jalen, I already mentioned them. So the Chilean members, this is Marcelo and Susana and two of their kids. I already showed you this picture, but Brian is their son as well. They moved into our region probably about the same time that we bought our house. And so I'm gonna give you a rundown of their story. They are now members of the church. Marcelo takes turns preaching with the other men, and just as stable as can be. We really love having them in our church. They grew up in the northern part of Chile, the central part, I guess. They were both born as Catholic. But we really discovered they had a hunger for God from probably before they were married, even. And they started as Catholics, but just going to church, to the Catholic Church, they realized that that's not where God is. So they moved on, they tried evangelical churches, and at least in Chile, that's a lot more of just a rock concert for the start, and then a preacher basically preaching a prosperity gospel is often what it ends up being. So they just bounced around a little bit and never really found God, at least at the beginning. Marcelo works for the military, so they assigned him to come work in Chile, in Coyhaique, in our town, and they moved into the house, which is directly across from our house. So that's how we got to know them, and we just had a few Bible studies and hung out with them quite a bit, and they started to read the Bible and understand it, and just saw that's where the truth is, that's where God is. So basically through Bible studies and I guess you could say our witness to them too, like just as a lifestyle, they are now baptized members of the church. Sure, didn't miss anything on that. So the next family, this is Israel and Daniela. They were born evangelicals. They grew up in a Christian home. Well, Daniela grew up Catholic, and Israel was evangelical. But after a while, he basically left the church, probably when he was a upper teenager, just from seeing the way the church people did not live the way the Bible said. The churches now in Chile, most of them are completely okay with divorce and remarriage and other stuff like that. So he left the church. He says he always knew that it was the truth, that the Bible was true, that God existed, but until he saw somebody living the way the Bible says, he wasn't about to try that again. So they moved to Chile, or to Coyhaique. They left Santiago, the capital, basically because it's not a good place for a family. It's crime in the capital, anyways, is a little bit of a problem. And it's just a big city. It's not very, they realized anyways, it's not the place to raise their family. So they had a few connections and moved to Coyhaique. Israel started working for us in construction. He still does. And just through seeing the way that we live and our, the way, of course, like we're honest, we don't tell lies, that's a big thing for Chileans. People are not very truthful. And lots of that, they became converted. Daniela, I should also mention that a little bit, her story. When they moved to Coyhaique, they knew that she had an eye problem. I am thinking she could only see at 20% of what a normal person can. Pretty close to blind. She had a very hard time reading, unless she was holding it something like this close, which that's a pain. And so, yeah, could barely see her kids. They looked into getting it fixed or finding out what the problem was, and the doctors all said that she needs an operation, which was quite a bit out of their budget. But they moved to Chile, and of course, when they became involved with the church, we started trying to see if we could maybe help her too, help heal her, get her eyes healed again. So after they were converted, we had an anointing service for her, like anointing with oil, and she couldn't see after that, not any better, but she still says that's when God healed her heart. It was a big turning point for her. And even though her eyes weren't healed, she's part of the church. But not long after that, I'm confusing people, I'm sorry about that, but the Idaho church got involved with it a little too, and a group of them decided they would help pay for this surgery. So she went back to the capital, to Santiago. That's where all the big medical centers are, and if you need something, it's usually in the capital if it's not in your region. So they went back there as a family and started getting it checked out, and the first doctor said the same thing, yep, it's an operation, and it'll be this much money. But he didn't want to do the operation without getting a second opinion. So they sent her to another doctor who discovered that there's actually some contact lenses you can use that would make her see. So from there to the clinic where they made these lenses, they actually got the lenses for her the next day. And just like that, she could see again they were just temporary lenses. So she said at 90% of what she could normally see. But even that, just imagine actually being able to read and then going home and see your kids. She was very pleased with that. So now she is able to see, I think, just like a normal person. That's a really, really neat thing that we're very glad for. More church people. This is Juan. He is, he grew up as a, what is it? I'm Plymouth Brethren, that's what it is. Which is a lot more of a conservative group than most of the others. So I believe he was a Christian beforehand, before coming to our group. But there were a few issues he didn't like with the other groups as well. So he is now part of our church and a school teacher, and often works at the bakery too. Very glad to have him as well. And Melina, so this was at a baptism service for these four. Dana is Marcelo and Susana's son. But Melina, we got to know her. She's the girl on the right. We got to know her through the bakery as well. I don't know her story too well, but through the bakery, she got to know people, got to know the Bible, and is now baptized. And this was in May. So only a few months, but still very stable, and yeah, she seems to be doing very well. I've got a few other church people, and then I'm going to have some questions. Two more church people. Rodrigo and Tamara, we met them about the same time we met Marcelo and Susana, and they started off very well. They were baptized the same time as Marcelo and Susana. But since then, they have not been doing very well. Rodrigo has been having problems being faithful to his wife. And honestly, there's other issues there as well. They still come to church quite a bit, but there are problems in that family. The next family, Alejandro and Angelica, this is the last one. he works for the government, so the government sent him to Chile, or to Coyhaique, and just recently they sent him back to the northern part of Chile. But anyways, they would have become members of the church, except that his wife, Angelica, is divorced, and this would be her second marriage. And we explained that to them, this is not allowed. They still come to church quite a bit, even a year after that, they did. So obviously they're seeking the truth, but it's a really big step for them to actually separate. They have two daughters, Florencia and another name almost like it. But they have, it's just been a problem like that. Most other churches would have accepted them just fine, but of course we explained to them that's not correct. And now they are in the northern part of Chile. I think they're wanting to visit sometime. I'm sure they would like to. But I'm not sure where it'll go from here for them. Anyways, that's all I have. I guess there's a little bit of time for questions yet, if anybody has something on their mind. Pesos. So 3,500 pesos is 3,500, is what we would call it. That is about probably $5. They would use a peso, which it's had a lot of inflation, but now it's pretty stable. About 710 pesos, it fluctuates a little bit to $1. That would be the lowest wages. They would all have to rent. Pretty much. Or if somebody has a house in their family. I believe just last June, she had a surgery that was meant just to keep it from getting worse. I'm not sure if she still has to wear lenses or not. But it's not getting worse. They would see it as American food. People just didn't know about it. Now people know it's a great place to hang out, have a coffee. In the beginning, people often, I think one time we even heard somebody come in there and talking on their phone saying, yep, I'm in my office now. Because there were very few people there, and it was actually a good place to work. Now it's a lot noisier and busy. It was probably my family or my dad and his brothers. They'd always wanted to do something kind of like this, some outreach in either South America or some foreign country. Everybody speaks Spanish. There's often a few people who will speak English, but the majority would speak just Spanish. And there's one other native group, I guess, but there's very few of them, and they're not in our region at all. So it's basically just a homeschool, but in a group. It would take a lot of work to have an actual school, government school, but we would be open to a few family, Chilean families, non-church families to join. No, it's not something you can get in trouble for. There is a homeschool system that you have to follow, but other than that, it's not a problem. Yes, all of them are part of the homeschool program or our school program. We lived in town in our little townhouse even while we were remodeling it. Oh, sorry, in the U.S.? Originally in Idaho, in Bonner's Ferry. Well, it's probably getting just a little bit late. I should turn the time back over to Jordan.
Thank you, Giles, for a very nice evening. That was very interesting and informative. May God bless you and your family down there as you continue to serve him. Okay, let's have a closing song.